Welcome to If You Love This Planet. I'm Dr. Helen Caldicott, and in this program we talk about the greatest medical and environmental threats to all life, such as nuclear weapons and nuclear power, global warming, ozone depletion, toxic pollution, deforestation, and many other social and political issues that relate to global well-being. So if you love this planet, keep listening. Welcome to If You Love This Planet. I'm Dr. Helen Caldicott, and today on the program I'm speaking with a very special guest, Kono Taro, who is currently serving as Director General of Japan's Liberal Democratic Party's International Bureau. He is a fifth-term member of the House of Representatives in Japan. Kono has voiced strong concerns over the Japanese government's nuclear policy. He is especially critical of the government's pursuit of a so-called closed nuclear fuel cycle, whereby plutonium is extracted from spent fuel by nuclear waste reprocessing within Japan. Kono also opposes the building of new nuclear power plants, as the government has so far failed to deal with the issue of nuclear waste disposal. As chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Kono conducted research into a secret accord with the US government on the introduction of US nuclear weapons into Japan, resulting in him demanding that the government officially acknowledge the existence of the accord. Kono Taro joins me now. Welcome to If You Love This Planet, Kono.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. This is going to be a very important interview, I think, because we're now dealing with Fukushima and all the nuclear activities in Japan. I want you to please describe to the audience, as a prominent member of the Liberal Democratic Party, which has always been very conservative about nuclear power, what your stance has been on nuclear power in the past, Kono, before Fukushima.
Okay. I came to the parliament in 1996. And in 1997, after some study, I was convinced that Japan's nuclear fuel cycle is not working well, and there's no future. So I was asking to pull out of nuclear power slowly, meaning back in 1997, let's not build any more additional nuclear reactors, and let's have a nuclear reactor decommissioned after 40 years. Then by 2037, Japan would go nuclear free. That was my position back in 1997, and it didn't change up to March 11th last year.
And tell me, how were you regarded by fellow members of your Liberal Democratic Party because of that stance that you adopted?
Well, LDP, the Liberal Democratic Party, has been pushing for the nuclear power for the last 50 years. So I was sort of a black sheep in the party.
And what has happened to your status since then?
Well, when it comes to the energy policy debate, people sort of thought I'm strange. So I was maverick in the energy policy.
Yes. But now, since Fukushima, what do they think?
Well, they finally start listening to what I'm saying. And I get more and more younger members of the parliament agree with me now.
Yes. Now, Kono Taro, would you like to describe to the audience, please, how you felt during March 11th and soon thereafter as that dreadful earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear accident occurred? Can you tell us how you responded, please?
Well, I was in the library of the parliament in the meeting, and there was a big shake. It was a very long shake.
Yes.
And right after the earthquake, we heard all the bullet train stopped safely. There was no utility gas leaking or anything. And the buildings were not damaged badly. So we were a little happy right after the earthquake.
This is then in Tokyo.
Tsunami, in Tokyo.
Yes.
And we heard the northern part of Japan was not about, badly shaken either.
Yes.
The not a great number of buildings were damaged by the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
But the tsunami came about a half an hour later, and we were watching that on TV, and it was just amazing. It's just unbelievable.
Mm.
And then we heard the news. There were some accident in the Fukushima nuclear reactors. We were not sure what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government and TEPCO was supplying with the wrong information. It was a minor accident, nothing like meltdown or anything.
Yeah.
But then one day we turned on TV and saw a nuclear reactor just exploding, or the building of the nuclear reactor just exploding. And all the monitoring posts went down right after tsunami, and the TEPCO were not able to recover their monitoring posts.
You so mean monitoring for radiation release?
That's right, that's
yes.
right.
Yes.
The TEPCO told us they lost the power for the monitoring post, but after even 1 week, they were not able to recover the power for the monitoring post. So I now believe they were trying to hide the numbers. And I think people in Japan were deceived for many, many days to come because TEPCO and the government kept telling us it wasn't meltdown or anything. But I think it was. They confirmed about 3 months later.
Yes, they confirmed 3 months later that within 3 days, three of the reactors, Unit 1, 2, and 3, had melted down, right?
That's right, that's right. And they should have known, within, 48 hours or so. But they deliberately told us that there was no damage like that. But a lot of experts were at the same time telling us it had to be meltdown. I mean, there was no nuclear reactor that can stand that kind of environment, so it had to be meltdown. That was the sort of agreement of the outside experts.
Yes.
But TEPCO and the Japanese government kept denying that. But after 3 months, they just totally changed the position and started telling us it was a meltdown.
I'm interviewing Mr. Kono Taro, who is a member of parliament in Japan, and a member of the Liberal Democratic Party. So, Kono, how did you... Well, first of all, I want to identify TEPCO. TEPCO is a Tokyo Electric Power Company, which
That's
has
right.
very close relationships with the Japanese government. Would you like, Kono, to explain to the audience, please, what the relationship is between the Japanese government and TEPCO and how long it's been going on?
Well, it's a sort of a corrupt relationship. The nuclear reactor regulatory organization is under the Ministry of Economy and International Trade. They were supposed to be promoting the nuclear power and regulating the nuclear power at the same time.
At the same time, yep.
At the same time.
That's what the International Atomic Energy Agency does.
I think it's sort of violating the international rules, isn't it?
Yes.
And the top bureaucrats of the ministry, when they retire from the bureaucracy, they usually join TEPCO and become senior vice president of that company. That has been going on for many decades. And the TEPCO also give a huge amount of political contribution to then ruling Liberal Democratic Party.
Ah.
And now the ruling party, Democratic Party of Japan, DPJ, the TEPCO's labor union is one of the biggest campaign machine for members of DPJ the parliamentary members of DPJ. So the politics and the ministry and the TEPCO are very, very in close relationship, and it's just a relationship of corrupt money. And same thing happens for, like, university professors. The nuclear professors of Tokyo University or Kyoto University receive a lot of R&D money from TEPCO. And their graduate student would join either power company or nuclear reactor manufacturers. So university also go along with whatever TEPCO said. And the media, before March 11th, received a lot of commercial from power companies. There are 9 power companies in Japan, and they paid a very huge amount of commercial to, you know, TV, newspaper, or news magazines. So they never really talked about the nuclear policies in Japan for many years. Well, that changed March 11th slightly. But that was the situation up to the March 11th.
Only slightly has changed, Kono Taro?
Well, now, the newspaper people were pretty cautious. And the television station, they told me that TEPCO is not able to give them any more commercials. They understand that. But the local television station outside of Tokyo still have a relationship with local power companies, namely the local news on local television station are paid by the local power company. So the local television stations are not willing to criticize the power companies, you know, yet. So even today, the media is not a neutral.
It seems to me a very serious situation.
It is.
I look at Chernobyl, and at least the Russians, you know, however sort of primitive their society was, within 10 days they had evacuated huge numbers of people from areas which cannot be inhabited. Yet you look at Japan. Now, I know your population is much more intense and more dense in the Fukushima prefecture around the reactor, but there are people still living in areas which are so radioactive they would have been evacuated around Chernobyl, and yet the people still live there, and the children who are so sensitive to radiation and the pregnant women with fetuses who are so sensitive still live there. So as a physician and a pediatrician, which is what I am, I can't for the life of me understand why the Japanese government has been so regressive and so irresponsible towards its own people. Can you talk about that, Kono Taro?
Right after the accident, the Japanese government evacuated people living within 20-kilometer radius. Uh-huh. And later, the government expanded it to 30 kilometers. They had a simulation which way radiation would go under the then weather, but the government concealed it. They had a simulation, and they could have told people where to go, but they didn't tell people. So some people moved from less radiated area to more condensed radiation area, and people are very skeptical about the government after this incident. So anything government and TEPCO say, people are not willing to believe. I mean, they have been lying to the people for so many things for so many days. So whenever the government says something is safe, people automatically question if the government is telling them truth. So people are a little panicked last year because they didn't know what to believe. And still that condition persists. The government wanted to take care of the radiation, you know, but people don't know what to believe. So they often go outside of Japan and try to get the experts' opinion.
Yes, I've been seeing that. I'm interviewing Kono Taro, who is a member of the Japanese Diet, a member of the Liberal Democratic Party. Monitoring of food, I have read that half the rice grown in Japan is grown in the Fukushima prefecture, and the rice, much of that rice is coming in contaminated with cesium-137 and 134. I know that mushrooms grown in certain parts are extremely radioactive. The tea, which is being picked even south of Tokyo, has cesium in it, and that's only one of the many radioactive elements that escape. They're only measuring cesium. They're not measuring many of the other elements. Is the government really not systematically and carefully monitoring the food that people eat? What is the situation now, Kono Taro?
Well, a lot of mothers with young children are really concerned. The governments are not systematically monitoring the radiation in the food. I think that's correct. Some municipalities or prefectures, the local government independently starting to monitor radiation. The rice, as you said, the rice from Fukushima, some of rice in Fukushima got a high radiation than the government standard, so the farmers are not allowed to sell. I live southwest of Tokyo, and in my prefecture, the tea is being contaminated from the cesium. So we are not sure what kind of damage caused by cesium. So I think the mother with young children really concerned what to feed them. And the fish, the fish don't stay at one place. So we are really concerned what's happening in the sea, because TEPCO dumped a lot of contaminated water into the sea at the beginning. I think there were a huge amount of radiation, and we are worried about the influence on fish.
Yes. Do you have young children, Kono?
Yes, I have a 9-year-old son.
Are you worried?
And my wife's very concerned.
She's very concerned. Yes, I would be too, because you would know if there was radiation in the tea grown in your area, there would be radiation in many of the foods grown there too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
Does she want to move?
Well, she's still with me. she's concerned, and she's very careful what to feed them.
Yes. Yes, and I read yesterday, actually, 63% of the fish caught in the area around Fukushima contains cesium-137. But that's only, again, the cesium, and we know that also cesium concentrates very highly in seaweed. And as we know, the Japanese love their fish and their seaweed. So
that's right.
The thing is that what you need to know, I think, and I think you heard me say this when we were at a conference in Istanbul, that cesium is like potassium, and it's concentrated very much in the brain, where it can cause brain tumors, in the muscle, where it can cause very nasty muscle sarcomas, in the testicles and ovaries, where it can cause both cancers and damage genes in the eggs and sperm, so it damages future generations. What sort of policies is the Japanese government now setting up to monitor the health of the, particularly the children and the women who are so sensitive, of people living in contaminated areas? Is there any systematic approach to the monitoring of the health of those people, Kono Taro?
Well, the government is going to monitor people in Fukushima for many years to come and see what kind of influence they are under. But at the beginning, they didn't monitor how much radiation fallout in many places. So I don't know how complete this monitoring will be. I think the Japanese government were not carefree monitoring the situation right after the accident. I think they were too busy with handling the Fukushima reactors. So I don't know how complete the number is going to be, but they will spend a lot of money monitoring people in Fukushima for many years to come.
Well, you know, the people can get cancer 70 years after they've eaten radioactive food or been exposed. So it really is a sort of Hiroshima-Nagasaki situation in slow motion, if you will. I think, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of people are going to develop malignancies, and, you know, there are probably babies already being born who might be deformed. I haven't read any reports yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was occurring.
And I think the government at the beginning really tried to hide the numbers and tried to show the damage is very small. The government say it is to avoid the panic. But, I mean, as long as people are supplied with the information, people don't panic. People start panicking because they realize government is hiding the numbers and they were not sure what the truth was. So I think the government mishandled the situation. And that created a big doubt about whatever TEPCO and government says now. And it is very difficult to do something in this circumstances.
Yes, it seems like the government's paralyzed. I also read the other day, Kono, that the government is actually canning very radioactive fish and sending it to third world countries. Have you heard that?
I heard the story. Yeah, they try to sell it outside. I don't know how much is true and what is what's really happening. I'm not sure. There were a lot of, well, there's a lot of news on the internet, and not all of them are true. And it's very difficult to see what is the reality and what is something people think is happening.
But also, you're in the government. Surely you would be getting official reports, are you not?
Well, we are opposition, and the governments are not reporting everything. They are very selective.
It must be very frustrating for you.
Well, I mean, they should give all the information public and let people judge. I think that should be the correct policy.
And do you find that the media now is more responsive to you? Do you have many interviews on the radio and television in the newspapers, Kono Taro?
Yes, I have had many interviews with television, radio, newspaper. But what worries me is, you know, the people in the media are now telling me that they don't get the numbers like before. You know, when the news magazine talk about the nuclear issues, the issues sell less. And television
issues sell less. Yeah.
So people are, I don't know, people are forgetting or people are getting tired of, or I don't know, but people are not paying as much attention as right after the accident. Yeah. That is the sort of a consensus from the media. Whenever television cover the nuclear issues, the rating is not as good as before.
And so, you've got to have good ratings, right? You mustn't educate
people. That's right.
You've
got
to have good ratings to sell the
advertising. The magazine has to sell, right. Magazine has to sell. So if it doesn't sell well, they will stop covering. And this is a big issue. This is very important issues. But, well.
I'm interviewing Kono Taro, who is a member of the Japanese Parliament and the Liberal Democratic Party. Are you worried, Kono, about future events at Fukushima, as if there's another earthquake or tsunami and Building 4 could collapse with a very serious high-level radioactive waste cooling pool on the roof of that particular building? Are you worried about future events at those reactors?
Right. For some time, I mean, the Fukushima reactor number 4, it got an explosion and the building was half collapsed. And we were worried if there's another big earthquake and if the building collapsed with their cooling pool. I mean, that would have been
a catastrophe.
Very damaging.
Yeah, lots of radiation release. So are you still worried about that or not?
Well, we were. And, we still worried about it. But I think the situation is a little getting better than right after the situation last year.
Mm.
I mean, we had many strong earthquakes right after March 11th.
Mm.
But right now, we still have a lot of earthquakes.
You had a 5.8. You had a 5.8 there the other day, right underneath the reactor.
That was January 1st, right?
Yeah, that's not long ago.
So we are not really convinced it's all safe, but hope situations have been getting better.
Yeah. So now let's go on to Japan as a whole. I understand Mitsubishi and other big companies are involved very much in the construction of nuclear reactors abroad. Isn't Japan the only country that makes the reactor vessel, the very thick steel vessel in which the reactor core is contained? Is Japan the only country that makes that?
I'm not sure. We have a Mitsubishi Heavy Industry, Toshiba, Hitachi, all have worked on nuclear, and they've been purchasing the nuclear wing of Westinghouse or General Electric.
Yeah.
So I don't know who else does it outside of Japan.
No, you're very heavily invested in the global nuclear industry, as well as your own industry. Talk about the closed nuclear fuel cycle, Konotaro, and why you were so concerned and what is happening in your country with reprocessing and where it is. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. We have to import all the uranium for the nuclear reactor.
Mostly from Australia. Mostly from Australia.
Right. Well, a lot from Australia.
Yeah.
Just as we have to import a lot of oil from Middle East.
Yes.
So our nuclear policy from the beginning is to burn uranium, get the spent fuel, and reprocess spent fuel to take the plutonium out. And we were supposed to develop fast breeder reactor so we can increase the amount of plutonium in the fast breeder reactor so that it would supply electricity for next 2,000 years. And we spent more than 2 trillion yen in the last 50 years. And we were supposed to have fast breeder reactor developed and commercially ready by 1980s. And the target has been postponed many times. In 1995, I think December 1995, we had a major accident in the first breeder reactor pilot plant. So even the Japanese government says we will not be able to develop fast breeder reactor at least by 2050. That's another 40 years. You know, we spent 2 trillion yen. We spent 50 years, and the first breeder reactor will not be ready for next 40 years. So we are questioning, should we continue this development of fast breeder reactor? That's number one issue. And then by now, Japan has asked UK and France to reprocess spent fuel. And we have now more than 30 tons of plutonium. We were supposed to burn that in the first breeder reactor, but the first breeder reactor will not be ready for another 40 years. So what are we going to do with this 30 tons of plutonium? And then Japan is not able to find a place for deposition of nuclear waste. And so this nuclear fuel cycle is not going anywhere. And we spent another 2 trillion yen to reprocess. So we built a reprocessing plant, and not working. It's not working properly.
So what's Japan going to do with its radioactive waste? Tons and tons and tons of it. How much have you got?
Well, too many. We were still looking for a place to, you know, bury it underground, and we are not able to find it. So I think we have to, I don't know, keep it as a spent fuel for many, many years to come. And I think we need to start testing dry cask for spent fuel. I think our cooling pool for the spent fuel is almost full. Some reactor will only last for another 2-3 years before the cooling pool is filled up. So all the nuclear reactors in Japan are facing the spent fuel issues. Average 5 to 6 years, then they would have their cooling pool filled up completely. What are we going to do after that? No one's sure.
You know, Japan sitting on 30 tons of plutonium worries the hell out of me, because you only need 5 pounds or so to make a nuclear weapon. And Japan is very far advanced, technologically speaking. And the truth is, within several weeks, if Japan so decided, it could make nuclear weapons. Does that thought worry you, Konotaro?
Well, I don't think we would do the nuclear weapons. I mean, we have no place to test the nuclear weapons.
No.
So I'm not worried about that. I mean, you know, people often, you know, start talking about what if Japan decided to build a nuclear weapon. Well, that's not going to happen. So I'm not really worried about it. What worries me is Japan's very strict gun control, and those guards who's guarding the plutonium don't carry guns. So if the terrorist decided to take over the plutonium, I don't know if we are properly situated. And there's no anti-terrorist measures for the spent fuel pool. That's now obvious today. So we have a lot to worry. How are we going to defend those, not only the nuclear reactors? I mean, terrorists don't have to shoot a missile against the nuclear reactors. All they have to do is just cut the power supply.
Yep.
So
and then you get a Fukushima.
We have to increase a lot of anti-terrorist measures to protect the nuclear power plant. And we are not really ready yet.
The other thing is that, of course, medically, plutonium is so terribly dangerous that one pound hypothetically, if evenly distributed, could give most people on Earth lung cancer. You know, 1/1,000,000th of a gram or 10^-9 grams is carcinogenic. Mm-hmm. So we need to take that into account, number one. And number two, its half-life is 24,400 years. So it lasts for 250,000 years. And, you know, when you think Japan's sitting on 30 tons of this stuff and you got more to develop if you reprocess your spent fuel in France and the like, it's really crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we have 1,000 times more plutonium than the North Korea. We are now worried about North Korea's nuclear program, and we try to have a six-party talk, and we try to pressure them with economic sanction. And Japan sitting next to North Korea with, you know, about 1,000 times more plutonium. It kind of sounds crazy.
It's ironic. Now, Konotaro is a member of the Liberal Democratic Party in the Japanese Diet. I want you to talk about the accord that Japan developed after the war with America to say that Japan would never be involved in war again and it would not store nuclear weapons on its territory. Tell me how that was violated, Konotaro.
It was not an accord. It was the Japanese cabinet decisions not to develop a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Not to hold a nuclear weapon, and not allow anyone to bring in a nuclear weapon.
Yes.
And that was the government policy.
Yes.
But when we let the U.S. Navy come to our port, the American government policy was they won't tell you if there's a nuclear weapon on the ship or not. They will not confirm or deny. So, logically speaking, the Japanese government wouldn't know if there's a nuclear weapon on the American ship or not. So this three nuclear policy of the Japanese government logically cannot be confirmed, because we wouldn't know if the American Navy have brought the nuclear weapon into Japan or not. So the government has an agreement with the United States. If United States is to bring the nuclear weapon into Japan, they would consult in advance with the Japanese government. So the Japanese government were telling the general public in Japan, we have never consulted from the United States government. That means they have not brought in nuclear weapons. So no one's sure. I think that's the only thing the Japanese government could tell the Japanese government. So we do not know, but there are many American Navy people who said in the public hearing or statement that they have their ship had a nuclear weapon on it, and they came to a Japanese port.
Of course. You know, I'm sure their aircraft carriers come in and they carry nuclear weapons, and other of their attack cruisers carry nuclear weapons too. How does the Japanese government feel about Okinawa and that huge American military presence there? The people in Okinawa really hate them being there. What is the attitude of the Japanese government, and can't you get rid of the Americans?
Well, it is more important to have American base in Okinawa as China expands its navy. I mean, China's defense budget been increasing more than double-digit growth for the last 20-some years. And it is very important to have Marines, Air Force in Okinawa. The problem is, some of the Okinawans not happy with the situation of the American bases. So, and we have a Marine airfield in Okinawa, and now the city has been developed around the base. So it is not safe to operate the helicopter out of that airfield. So in order to avoid any dangerous accident, Japanese government and American government want to relocate the airfield in the middle of the city to somewhere safe. We are trying to build another airfield in one of the American bases in Okinawa. And, we have got a basic agreement of Okinawans from governors, mayors, and then the DPJ Prime Minister Hatoyama came in, and without thinking anything, he said, oh, let's move this base out of Okinawa. And 6 months later he came back, we couldn't do this.
So because of pressure from the Americans, I'm sure.
He didn't really thought about defending Japan against the Chinese naval expansion.
But
when he was questioned, couldn't find it anywhere else. So he came back to Okinawa. Sorry, I should have thought about it before.
Is Japan really worried about China? I mean, really,
oh, yes.
Honestly, Kono, I know you suffered terribly during, you know, no, you were very bad to the Chinese during the Second World War. They should be scared of you.
Oh, that has nothing to do with the current issues. The Chinese naval expansion is a serious issue. See, South China Sea, they are trying to dominate the sea lanes, and the international society are not well, we can't allow that to happen. So it is important to check China's military expansion. And the bases in Okinawa is very important doing it.
It really worries me because America's increasing its presence now in the Pacific and also in Australia.
Yes.
And I don't think America has a right to, you know, have a big presence there because it belongs to Asia. I'm very worried because America still has all those nuclear weapons, and you can't dissociate the American military from its nuclear weapons and policy, and they've said if necessary they'll use them. I don't see, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see China at the moment as being very aggressive militarily. Am I wrong?
Well, even the Australia's Labor Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, when he came to Japan, he talked about worried over China's military expansion. And I believe the Australia is expanding the defense.
Yeah, but we're wrong. We're crazy. I mean, all we are the 51st state of the United States of America. We're sycophants to the US. We've got a pathetic prime minister who knows nothing about foreign policy, and I wouldn't trust Kevin Rudd. Even if Australia, you know, goes along with that, I do not agree with it as an Australian. And I also worry all the time with the nuclear weapons still, you know, having a huge presence in the American military, that there could be an accidental nuclear war, or as the military tensions build up, there could be a nuclear war. You know, I can't... We've got to stop, I think, thinking and acting as if war is inevitable, because if we keep fighting and we keep setting up military presences, inevitably in the future, I think inevitably there will be a nuclear war, and then there'll be no life left on the planet. We, you know, see, Kono, in the nuclear age, things have changed. And although men think they can keep fighting and have their military presence, the truth is, it's really what Einstein said, the splitting of the atom, like nuclear weapons, changed everything, all reality, except the way man thinks in military terms. Thus we drift towards unparalleled catastrophe. And if anyone should understand that, it should be the Japanese, having suffered from Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Right. That's why we need to check and stop China's military expansion. We cannot let something like Europe before the First World War happen. Nobody really paid attention to German military expansion seriously and see what happened. In order to keep the peace in Asia, I think we have to pay more attention to the military expansion of China, especially the Navy expansion. And it is very important, United States, Japan, Korea, Australia, Singapore, those democratic countries work together and, give warning beforehand to China that they are not free to expand, dominate the sea in Asia.
I think it's important for people to know that, in fact, China has a very small military at the moment. It's only got about 20 missiles with nuclear weapons that could hit America, whereas America's got about, 1,500 nuclear missiles that could hit China if they wanted to. So the discrepancy is profound. Describe exactly, Kono Taro, if you will, to the audience, what China is doing in your area of the world militarily that you don't like.
Well, they have very clear strategy to drive American influence out of Asia so they could dominate the sea lanes of Western Pacific. And we have grown this economy for the last 50 years under the peace in West Pacific with the United States. So I think the alliance with the United States and the democratic countries in Asia will be more important years to come. And freedom of sea lane is key for countries in Asia, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Korea. We all depend on the freedom of navigation. And I think we have to work together to keep it that way. And I think the President Obama announced that the United States is coming to Asia Pacific. I think they would shrink their military presence in Europe, but I think the United States will keep its presence in Asia, and that is a welcome development. And I think we need to create stability in Asia, and that is the key if this region is going to expand economically in 21st century.
Has China actually stated that it's going to take over the sea lanes?
Well, that's clear statement. That's their clear strategy.
They have said that.
They have denied access, and then they will expand the domination into the Western Pacific. And that's what they've been trying to do in South China Sea. And we all know what's happened. And I think international society need to talk to China that they just cannot violate the peace and the stability of Western Pacific.
Okay, well, I obviously need to do more reading about this. And where should people go to find out about these policies, Kono Taro? Is there a web page or the policies of China?
Oh, well, you can just Google it. It's a stated policy.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I need to learn about this. I'd like to get back now to Japan and to the nuclear situation. I've been reading lately but it's not well expressed in our media here in Australia, and I don't think in America, but aren't there demonstrations of thousands of people in Tokyo about Fukushima, about the radiation, about the food, about the children, particularly by the Japanese women and mothers? Tell us what's happening there.
Well, there are many demonstrations all over Japan, but the number is not big.
Not big.
And I'm urging people, instead of demonstration, you know, instead of going to demonstration, they have to visit the politicians' local office. Tell them what they think. Tell them what they want. Because, you know, walking down the street in Japan just have no effect on the policy. TEPCO and the other power company knocking door of the members of parliament every day and telling their version of the story. So I think people need to be heard by the politicians. So, you know, not just collecting signatures, not just walking down the street, demonstration. They really talk to politicians face-to-face and tell them what they think. Because yesterday the ministry says couple of the nuclear reactor in the western part of Japan as safe to restart. I doubt it. There's no anti-terrorist measure for the reactors. The ministry and the industry wanted to restart the nuclear reactor that has been stopped for inspection. And they even tried to amend the policy. So we have to be very careful. We have to monitor the government. And I think the politician need to be really involved with the correct information.
Yes, I think you could take a leaf out of the movement in America, the Occupy movement. I actually spoke at Wall Street, at Occupy Wall Street, and I said, look, what you've got to do is occupy the Congress, because it's your Congress. They're your politicians, you are their leaders, and they are your representatives, and so is the president. So, in fact, that's what they're doing. Right now, the Occupy movement has moved into Congress, and I think that the Japanese people could take a leaf out of the Americans' Occupy movement book and go and occupy the offices of the politicians. When you speak publicly, Kono Taro, do you recommend that people do that?
Well, whenever I speak to the people, I urge them to talk to the politician. I think the Japanese people have been very, not active. They've been, you know, the Japanese people have thought the politician and the bureaucrats will take good care of the energy policy, and they almost delegated the power without any conditions.
Mm.
Now people should realize that the bureaucrats and the politicians are not very neutral, and some are corrupt. So we really have to go in the decision-making policy, and people's voice have to be heard through the policy-making.
I've also read that all the reactors have to be closed down once a year for inspection, and none of the reactors legally can be open without the consent of the surrounding community. And therefore, if that happened, it means that within a year or two, all the reactors in Japan will be closed. Can you comment
today,
on that?
Today, only 5 out of 54 nuclear reactors are running. And by sometimes in mid-April, those 5 will be shut down. So there'll be no nuclear reactors running. And the power company and the government, the bureaucrats actually, are trying very hard to restart them. And I think there has to be many conditions for restarting the nuclear reactor. We have to check the hardware. We have to check the software. And the management of the power company, who have been hiding a lot of accident and telling all the lies, the management has to go. Management has to be changed. So there are a lot of conditions before we can allow restarting the reactors.
So how is Japan coping now with electricity supply, its power supply, with only 5 of its 54 reactors operating? Are you getting on okay?
Well, yes. We have enough excess capacity. Even if we shut down all the nuclear reactors, I don't think there'll be any blackout or anything.
Huh.
We have enough oil and natural gas power generators. We have a lot of hydro. And, last summer, the power usage went down 15%. So we can ask people to maximize efficiency.
Yes.
So even if 54 went down, there should be no problem.
Isn't that interesting? I bet the same thing could happen in America if 104 reactors went down. They only supply 20% of the electricity in America, and Americans can save 28%. And I think by conservation, I think that the Japanese people have given a wonderful example of in extremis what people and societies can do to make themselves safer.
So, I mean, we really have to think before restarting how many nuclear reactors we need to restart. I don't think we need all 54.
You probably don't need any.
Well, we might be able to survive without it.
Yeah.
So we are asking ministry and the power companies, give us correct numbers, and they are very hesitating.
One last question, Kono Taro. I read yesterday that the Japanese government is setting up an independent commission to study the results of Fukushima. Would you like to comment on that briefly?
Yes. We have actually many commissions studying the Fukushima situation. The government has one commission, and the parliament, for the first time in the history, set up an independent commission studying Fukushima. And non-government side, there's a sort of non-government studying commission. So we're all waiting for them to report what really happened in Fukushima, what should be done for the nuclear policy. So it will coming in, and we just waiting for.
Do you trust the independence of those commissions, or do you think they'll be biased?
Well, the parliamentary thing is free of government influence.
Uh-huh.
And government commission, well, so far so good. And there's a one non-government one, and they're doing a good job. So, you know, the three commission can compete each other for fairness and independence. So I think it's a good thing, not just one, but three years making studies.
As long as they're independent from TEPCO as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kono Taro, I thank you very much for a very fascinating and elucidating discussion about the current situation in Japan. And I know that many thousands of people are going to be absolutely fascinated by this discussion. If they want to reach you, do you have a web page or...
I have an English web page. You can just look it up on the website, and you can Google it.
What is your website?
It's Taro, TARO.org, www.taro.org.
Okay.
And there's a www.konotaro, K-O-N-O. TARO.org, which is English.
Thank you so much for this very fascinating interview, Kono
Taro.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My guest today on If You Love This Planet was Kono Taro, a Japanese politician and fifth-term member of the House of Representatives in Tokyo. I thank you very much for listening. I'm sure you're going to be fascinated with this interview. Please feel free to visit Kono Taro's web pages. And we'll be back again with you next week with another fairly interesting interview, I would think. Bye for now.
You've been listening to If You Love This Planet with Dr. Helen Caldicott. This program is broadcast on community radio across the United States, including our host station, KPFT Pacifica, Houston, Texas. This program is produced and engineered by Jazz Williams, co-produced by Scott Powell, and our publicity and outreach are coordinated by Amanda Bellerby. To listen to previous shows or to make a donation, go to our website, ifyoulovethisplanet.org.